Barbara Heinzen is a long-term strategist and scenario planner with a successful 30-year practice working with corporations, government departments, and civil society organizations in Asia, Africa, Latin America, Europe, and the USA. In recent years, she has been working on two multi-stakeholder projects concerning the future of energy, one in East Africa and the other in Pennsylvania, USA. In 2011, Barbara returned to the USA from central London after buying 20 acres of land along the Hudson River on the boundary of the town of Coymans and Baltimore, New York. Her property is also part of a larger experiment, learning to manage land for environmental benefit while creating economic returns for doing so. She is also a volunteer, environmental activist, and advocate in the community. And Barbara joins us now to talk about the town of Coymans local law number one, Clean Air Bill. Hi, Barbara.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Doing great, thank you.
And so we understand this local law is expected to come to a vote in the next few weeks. Can you tell us a bit more about this bill and why it's so important?
Yeah, this is a bill in the town of Coymans, so practice your pronunciation, please. and Coymans, about a year ago in December, got word that the Hartford, Connecticut was had a proposal to send a considerable amount of their municipal trash to the Lafarge plant in Ravenna, which is part of Coymans, for burning. And this was just before Christmas, and there was a press conference organized between the town of Coymans and the county of Albany. And in that press conference, Judith Eng spoke and said, burning trash in a cement plant is very hazardous. You get very bad air emissions. These are bad for human health, and you don't want them in your town. So the objection to this proposal was quite severe, and the plan was dropped by the Connecticut authorities. They decided they would not send their trash for burning to the Lafarge cement plant in Ravenna. And that was over a year ago. Following that event, the town board asked the man who had alerted them that this was coming along to help them draft a law that is now the clean air law that's being considered in the town of Coymans. And that's what is going on now. It's just being sent for review to Albany County and should be coming back to the town in the next month or so.
And so when the town went to pass this or move to introduce this legislation, were they consulting outside groups for advice, or where did the baseline for this legislation come from?
The legislation came from a man called Mike Ewall, who was the one who heard about the Connecticut proposal and warned Albany County and the town of Coymans that this was a possibility. He's a trained lawyer. He's been an environmental activist for 25 or 30 years, and he's particularly focused on the management of garbage and landfills and the incineration of hazardous waste. So he's got a long track record of following this issue, learning about the chemistry, learning about the industrial processes, and he is the one who put together the law with the help of the town of Coymans and the town's own lawyer. So the town board and Mike and the town's lawyer worked on this law together, which was published last year sometime and had its public hearing in August.
So how is it possible that a local town can pass legislation on air pollution? Isn't that something that the state and federal, isn't that something that should be passed through federal and state environmental laws?
Well, there's something wonderfully unique here in New York. It's also true in Pennsylvania, where Mike Ewall is based, that we have a principle called home rule. And that means that the local authority, like the town of Coymans, can pass a stricter environmental law than the ones that exist at the state level or the federal level. They can't pass a weaker law, but our home rule gives us the authority to pass a law that has stricter provisions for environmental control.
And so what specifically kind of restrictions are we going to see in this legislation?
There are two kinds of restrictions that are proposed here. One is that anybody who wants to can burn rubbish here, but they can't burn a lot of it. And it if they're burning more than 1 ton or less than 25 tons, between 1 and 25 tons of waste, they have to then monitor 19 different chemicals and compounds that could come out of their smokestack. So it's limited first in terms of how much waste can be burnt, and secondly in terms of the need to monitor the emissions from the smokestack that are coming from the burning of this waste. And so it ends up looking at 19 various toxins, including dioxins and volatile organic compounds, carbon monoxide, nitrogen oxides, and sulfur oxides. So it's various compounds that we have pretty good reason to believe can affect human health, especially causing cancer and other slow evolving diseases, autism, multiple sclerosis perhaps. The research is not great on this, but we believe it's a hazard we don't want to run in this community.
You just mentioned some of the health risks that folks would face if they continue to incinerate waste, as well as some of the environmental effects. What is the opposition to this bill?
The opposition from the bill is coming from the Lafarge cement plant, who had a permit in 2006 that they agreed with the DEC to burn tires in their cement plant. The burning of tires for cement is something that began when the oil price and the fossil fuel prices were running up before 2007 and 8. And as they thought they're going to be facing much higher fossil fuel prices, they were looking around for other forms of fuel, not just Lafarge, but a lot of companies that were making cement. And they decided to start burning tires. So they began looking for ways of burning tires, and a lot of laws were passed that said it's okay to burn tires, and that this would keep tires out of landfill, and that this was a good thing to do. Now, it may well be a good thing to do, but if you're going to burn tires, I don't think it's unreasonable to say we want you to monitor what is coming out of the smokestack. And for the time being, we're going to limit the amount of waste that can be burnt in the cement factory or anywhere else, any other industrial process in Queemans. So if you're going to burn it, keep the amount small and monitor what's coming out of the smokestack.
I'm very interested by this idea of the, I believe it was 19 chemicals you said that would have to be monitored as part of this legislation. So I'm curious about the methods for actually monitoring that. Would this mean sensors going into the smokestacks or surveys being taken using specialized equipment? Are these the kind of monitors that they may already have?
As I understand it, and you're talking to somebody who's a humble geographer, not a chemist, there's continuous emission monitoring systems that are possible, that have been created. And they can monitor dioxins, carbon dioxide, hydrochloric acid, selenium, nickel, and various other compounds that are listed in the local law. Now, I think the difficulty the company has is that they see these monitoring systems as being expensive, and they don't want necessarily to have the added expense of monitoring these chemicals. Not only that, the law requires them to publish the results of the monitoring systems on a website on a regular basis so that anybody who wants to can look up how clean is the air coming out of this smokestack here in our town. So it's a way of assuming the machinery works and is available, then it allows the public to keep track of what's the quality of the air they're breathing as it comes out of the industrial processes that live close by.
Are there any myths or misunderstandings about how dangerous this can be?
I don't know. I'm not sure I would say that they're myths, but I would say, because I've been trying to track it down a bit, that the kind of research that's been done in this area is not very complete. So where you don't have really good comprehensive information that's been reviewed by scientists who understand the methodologies and can comment with some degree of knowledge about it, you have a degree of ignorance, so different people's beliefs then fill the space. so people want to say, well, it doesn't matter. But, yeah, of course we can burn it. It's better than landfill, which, you know, landfill is not great. We don't necessarily want that either. But it's more a question at the moment of economics, I think. We don't have the information on a lot of this stuff, so people's own beliefs are going to fill in, and they'll put in whatever they want to believe. So if people want to believe it's fine to burn tires in a cement plant, that's what they're going to believe. If they want to believe it's very hazardous, that's what they're going to believe. The evidence is probably, what little I've been seeing, is more along the lines that it is hazardous, but we don't have any good, I would say, long-term comprehensive data on what are the health risks of some of these air pollutants.
On that note, Barbara, we're running out of time. For those who are just tuning in, when will this vote be held?
We don't really know. The law was sent to Albany County for review because that's, the law is a bit ambiguous, but it seems to be something that the town should do. We expect it to be passed back to the town fairly quickly, within the next month or so. So I would hope that by maybe even the end of February or the middle of March, we will have a clean air law in Queemans, and it will be the first strong local law defending clean air in the country, from what I understand.
Sounds like something to strive for. Thank you for joining us, Barbara.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
That was Barbara Heinzen, environmental activist from New Baltimore, New York, speaking to us today about the town of Queemans' local law number one clean air bill. Listeners who want to join with Barbara and the community, please email fellow activist Christine Primomo at Christine, P-R-I-M-O-M-O-2 at gmail.com. Thanks for joining us, Barbara.